Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, and we'll welcome back to the show master drummer Matt Sorum from Velvet Revolver. Hi, Matt.
Hello.
Matt has been in here representing the Cult. I think maybe Guns N' Roses, and I'm trying to.
I came down here once with Steve Jones from the Sex Pistols,
right?
Wow. And
right.
John Taylor. We had a band called Neurotic Outsiders.
Wow, yeah.
Remember
a long time
that night?
Ago, yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen.
Steve Jones was always fun on the on this show.
Yeah, the Matt has been he's sort of becoming the drummer of choice for the super bands. They all go for Matt.
Yeah, I kept busy. Matt, I've been a very lucky guy.
Matt, it seems like Matt had a turnaround at some point, got into mountain bike riding and taken multiple vitamins or something, and it's probably
worked
out.
I don't do the mountain bike thing, but I do the vitamins, and we'll talk about that later because I have some vitamins for people out there that are
you do?
Keeping active in different areas of their lives.
Well, you made some had some. I thought you were riding mountain bikes.
Duff, my bass player.
Duff rides a mountain bike.
He's he's a black belt in karate now, and he got off the drugs, and he's into martial arts, and he's around mountain bikes, and climbing the Andes and whatever else he's doing.
That's the problem with people who get off drugs. They get onto everything else, including my nerves, Drew. I like them better when they're onto drugs. Like, now they're into everything. It's like, come on, we're going parasailing.
Yeah, he's up way too early. I still sleep in. Duff gets up at 5 a.m. and, runs 15 miles, and then then he goes kickboxing. And I don't get it.
Of Velvet Revolver, you got you and you got Slash and you got Duff, and obviously Axl is gone. It's like, was Axl the troubled part of Guns N' Roses, as far as you know? I mean, they're
we've seen Slash drop lit cigarettes into his boot and not move.
Yeah,
where does the trouble start?
They kept us pretty liquored up through the whole thing. I mean, the idea was keep the band inebriated and, they won't mind. But at one point we were kind of like, hey, we're missing out here. This isn't, especially when we were trying to make this album that still hasn't come out, the Chinese Democracy of sorts or whatever it's called. Yeah. We basically spent 4 years hanging around, a room trying to record an album that never got done. So we all said, hey, we got to figure out what we're doing here. I discovered again that I'm a musician when got back with the Cult, and then this turned, after all that happened, about 4 or 5 years went by, put this Velvet Revolver thing together.
So Axl Rose is impossible to work with. Would you say that?
It got to be that way, man.
I don't mean impossible. He's such an a-hole or such a maniac. I just mean there's some guys. They become like Howard Hughes or something. It's just at a certain point, you couldn't work with them. They might be able to work or do something. But
it was great. I mean, we would do shows, we'd be playing, all over the world, doing stadiums and arenas all over the world. But, we'd wait an hour or 2 hours to get on stage. And, it was a drag. But once we get up there, some of the gigs were unbelievable. And people would walk away going, oh, my God, that was the best rock show I've ever seen. So.
Right.
It's kind of like, it's the deal that goes with being a lead singer, I guess. I mean, it seems to me that all the good ones are a little bit on the edge, it seems like. I don't know. I mean, the great ones, Jim Morrison, some of the greatest rock performers of all time. I mean, it's a drag. Half of them are dead, but it's like, it seems like there's a lot that goes with having that thing that makes rock and roll.
Speaking of that, what's going on with Scott Weiland?
Scott's doing great, man.
He is.
He's doing great. We just went out on about an 8-week tour. He had a 6-month deal with the courts, and he fulfilled his commitment.
He seems skinny. I don't want to cast aspersions, but he looks.
He's got
like
that heroin look, but let me tell you what it is.
He doesn't eat. He does have the heroin look. Because he's doing heroin, or he just doesn't eat?
No. Trust me. If Scott was on heroin, he wouldn't be on stage.
Really?
I mean, not with us, no.
Really?
No, he wouldn't be able to perform like he does.
Okay, because Drew's got a puss on, I got to tell you. I know, Drew, you know, it's a sensitive subject, and there you got your laws and your rules and stuff. Stop talking so much, Drew. You're making me nervous. But you know what I'm saying? I don't know anything. All I know is Scott Weiland looks like a guy who's back on with the drop.
You know what? He's in the gym every day.
I'm not saying he acts like it. He doesn't sing like it. He doesn't sound like it. He just looks like it.
Hey, but all those skinny front men, man, they have that look. Look at Iggy Pop.
I know.
Come on.
I know.
Iggy Pop's skinny. He just drinks like six Diet Pepsis before he goes on stage.
All right.
He doesn't do drugs anymore.
All right.
Egg whites or whatever they do. Look at Dave Navarro.
All right. Well,
I'm backing Scott.
All right. Drew?
Hello.
I'm all for Scott.
All right. I know we're all fans. There's no doubt about it. That's why we're talking about it. All right. So, Velvet Revolver. We'll hear something off the new CD in just a couple of few. And we'll get to the phones and speak to Christy, who's 23. Christy?
Yes.
What's happening?
Not much.
Yeah, let me tell you the other thing about Scott Weiland, too. Scott Weiland, a lot of people don't really know this, is really great front man. I mean, you don't hear about it. I don't know, SDP was a good band, and he sounded good, and the songs were good and stuff. But if you see him perform, you realize he's a great front man for a band. I mean, he's a great guy to have up there as a lead singer. He has a charisma. He has a stage presence that I'm not so sure that a lot of guys in the kind of bands that he was in before don't have. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we were looking, you know, Slash and Duff and myself got back together, and we looked for almost a year and a half for a lead singer, and what we realized is there isn't any out there.
No.
They broke the mold.
Have you seen, though? I mean, you probably caught some STP shows back in the day and probably remembered that Scott Weiland was pretty good.
Well, we did. We had an idea, but we knew what we were kind of getting ourselves in for, being as, you know, we kind of wanted things to run a little bit smoother than our previous band.
Yeah.
So, you know, we really, when we went into this whole thing, we were like, okay, we know what we're getting into. We know what kind of character he is, but we're very supportive of him, and we've all been there.
Yeah.
You know, I was an alcoholic, cocaine snorting party guy for years, and you know, I got through it, and I'm cleaned up now, and I'm living life healthy. And Duff McKagan, same guy.
Oh yeah.
Slash shot some speed balls in his day, you know, and heroin and everything else, and now he's got two kids and throws back a couple of Guinness here and there, but
sure.
You know,
it's no problem.
He's off the hard stuff, and you know, we're kind of like, hey man, if we can pull that off, if we can do it,
yes,
well, he can do it.
I am
a poster child.
Yes.
For a guy that, if I can do it, anybody can get
clean. Well, how many years of sobriety do you have now?
September will be 6 years. I haven't had any drugs or alcohol.
Yeah.
But that last night was a lot of fun, as much as I can remember.
Oh, really? All right, let's talk to Christy. Was I speaking to Christy before?
Yeah.
Yes.
Christy.
Yes.
You're 23. What's up?
I am 23, and by the way, I love Velvet Revolver. Big fan.
Thank you.
I keep getting spoon-fed all these sweet, like, emotions and guys telling me, I guess, basically what I want to hear, and I never seem to find the right one. It's like they pour on all this, I guess you could say a front, and, you know, a couple days later, after I start responding to it and making sure that they're making the first move, it's like, oh, wait, I don't want that. So,
hold on. This is not a real problem.
Yeah, we don't know what you're talking about, really.
It's just guys doing their thing. They want to get in your pants. You want to, you know, they lie a little bit.
I'm out there looking for somebody, and
they smell that, and that's what they go after, and they see how far you're going to go with that.
Well, yeah, where are you looking to meet guys?
Just like the area. I mean, I live in Illinois. I'm about 10 minutes from St. Louis on the Illinois side. And
you look for them.
So you're not leaving the
continent. You know what I know about the Illinois side? When you go over the bridge there from St. Louis, that's where all the good strip bars are.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on the other side. That's true, right? I'm right.
Sausage, PT, Diamond Cabaret, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's important for Christy to know about that.
Christy, what
Adam's asking is, do you meet these guys at work or through friends at school?
I've met one at work, and some are through like mutual friends, and some are just people that I go to college, so some of them have been from college.
And do you actually go on a date?
Who cares?
You deemed it a non-problem.
It's just look, she's 23. She's going through that thing that everyone goes through. You meet, you have a couple of bad. Probably a good thing to have a couple of bad dates, a couple of bad relationships, a couple of bad outings.
True.
In everything.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Experience these things. Learn it.
Yeah, you dump somebody, they dump you. Mm-hmm. Somebody cheats on you. You bust somebody, they bust you. A little this and a little that. A couple of bad first dates. Before you know it, you're married and you have something to go off of.
Mm-hmm.
I think people that marry, like the chick they met in the ninth grade, always have it in the back of their head of, well, wait a minute. I don't even know what it's like to be with somebody else. I mean, you need to know.
God,
Drew,
man,
you've been with a lot of crazy broads, Drew. Hundreds of crazy broads.
hundreds, to know that
the crazy broad that you married was the right choice. Right? I mean, you know your wife. You've been through it. Enough candy stripers, not to mention, I mean, there's the staff at your office. I mean, it just keeps going. Just keep the maid, the pool guy.
Are you single still, Drew?
No, I have three kids.
Drew has
three
kids and a lovely wife. But the point is he didn't marry the first lady he dipped the wick in. That's all I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Matt, what about you?
I am single.
You're single now.
Yeah.
You've been married, though,
I got
right?
married for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a one-year thing.
Like a rock and roll thing?
It was a rock and roll marriage, yeah. The rest of the band got married, so I figured, okay, the backstage party was over.
Right.
I got married for a year.
What happened?
And it was, you know, I was still doing drugs and drinking, and, you know, drugs and drinking and being married just doesn't mix.
Yeah, because here's the thing, really, if you think about it. It takes all your energy not to F up as a guy in a relationship. I mean,
as a male,
it's almost just like driving a big rig that if you start getting loaded, you're going to jackknife immediately. Like, I'm just saying, I'm serious.
Yeah.
As a guy, you know, not to cheat, not to say stupid stuff to your wife,
not to pay attention to the relationship
her a little bit once in a while, to pay attention, to not try to screw her friends, all this stuff you can't do. You have to be sober and focused to do
that. Yeah, very much
like
so.
Every ounce of concentration.
If you're drinking and doing drugs, other things start coming
couple
in.
A couple rails of blow, like, few heinies, and you're out on the road.
It takes you in a little bit of a dark place.
You go in a direction that you would easily go. You want to go that direction.
You end up in Vegas, usually.
You end up in Vegas.
Then it's just bad.
That's right. And even though they say what goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas, oftentimes other people leave and tell your wife what you did.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? What you did stayed there, but they saw what you did and they brought it home.
Oh, I see.
I actually used to call it the CLIT organization. Chicks linking information together.
Oh, they love it. They love it. There's nothing.
I mean...
Oh, producer Rand.
They used to say,
are you kidding me? Do you know what happened at the bachelor party?
They used to say, do it more than three area codes away.
Mm-hmm.
That used to be the model, right?
Yeah.
That was before the internet.
They love
that's too. Right. It was before the internet.
I'm sorry you have to hear it from me, but did you know what went on at the bachelor party? Well, I mean, first off, you would have thought Matt was the bachelor the way he carried on.
No, you know what it was with my old lady? Like, living in Hollywood, right? Like, everyone calls everybody. If you, like, have any sort of celebrity, everybody knows everything about you, and they want to talk about it.
Right.
So it's like, I get home, got the wife. I get home about 6 a.m. I was at the studio with the band, honey. Actually, no, you weren't. You stopped by the body shop on Sunset. Then you went to Crazy Girls. Then you were at this party at 12304 da-da-da-da-da drive with some chick, and her name was... Lisa.
Now, if a guy found this information out, he wouldn't report it back to his friend. He would try to get in on it. He would try to capitalize. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you swapped it around, like, let's say I found out that so-and-so's wife was out making the rounds, I wouldn't be like, I got to go tip him off. I'd be like, I got to get in on some of that now. I mean, this is how guys think. Guys are like, what's in it for me? Girls are like, I'll tell you what's in it for me. I get to make you feel like S.
Right.
That's what's in it for me.
Right.
I get to. I thought you should know. Listen, I'm only telling you this because I love you. You know I love you, and I love Matt, but other people love Matt too. And they love him. They give him like an oral love job. Anyway, I just thought you should know. I really thought you should know. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, if you knew what went on at that bachelor party, do you want to know? I thought you should know. I think you should know. It's good. It's best that you know. Why? So you guys can get divorced.
You know, when I got married, see, that's the problem. When I got married, my wife didn't let me have a bachelor party.
Oh.
You know what she said to me? She said, your whole life has been a bachelor party.
Right.
You got to have a bachelor party.
Right. Yeah, she should have let you in. Should have purged you. Chris?
Yes.
You're 27?
Yeah. How you guys doing?
Doing good.
I just wanted to say, man, you guys are my favorite people in the world. I listen to you all the time. Me and my wife do.
I'm coming to Phoenix next week. I'm going to Phoenix on like Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's calling from Phoenix, everybody.
Strangely enough.
Yeah, when Truth says that, it's because he's
I was just wondering, Adam, first. I just want to know, you guys talk to yourself all the time. I was just wondering, how come, I mean, we sit on hold forever. Mm-hmm. And that... Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering why you can't go in the corner and jack off and get a little of that frustration out.
Hey, Drew's coming out to Phoenix next week.
Well, I know. Drew, I love it.
Chris is a funny, funny guy.
Shut up!
Funny. Yeah. Comedian.
Drew, you'll be heading out toward Phoenix? Visit our buddy Chris when you get out there?
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's great.
First order business.
Listen, everybody. I don't mind a critique of the show. I don't mind a prank phone call.
Yeah.
I don't mind some chop bust. I don't mind any of it. But
you might lack a talent and stupidity.
Yeah. Here's the whole thing. Like if you want to do a practical joke, do a practical joke, but don't walk up to some guy and go,
boof.
No, you should walk up and smack him in the back and have the ball peen hammer. It's not like a practical joke. Yeah, right. Do something funny. All right. Anyway, Drew, he's out in Phoenix.
I'll visit him. Right. I'll get his address from
all right, we're going to... and by the way, if you think you're insulting me by telling me to go in the corner and beat off...
No, that's a green light.
You picked the wrong guy.
Yeah.
That's like insulting a bear by telling him to give him a pot of honey.
Picnic basket.
Yeah.
I'll go in the corner.
Go in the corner, yeah. Thank you. All right. And by the way, I don't need a corner to beat off.
I know.
I'm doing
it's
right
just
in the
a matter
of
speaking.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
I see. See, symbolically.
Just kind of pull out a little bit and go by yourself and beat off. Not in front of us necessarily.
I see what he meant. Okay, my apologies to Chris.
All
right. It's sort of like a jack-off timeout. Is that what that would be like?
I think that's sort of the implication, yeah.
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 All right. Well, let's hear a song from Velvet Revolver, shall
right,
we?
Fair enough.
Yes.
Mm.
How are you doing over there, Chris? Yeah. How was junior college this weekend? Fine? Good?
Got your new schedule set up?
Friday?
Math?
No.
No?
No math. Drew, look at the schedule. Now, the schedule, I've seen the junior college schedules. They just have pictures. They don't have words because a lot of the people that go there, you know, they don't read real good, but they'll have like a smiley face if it's good. And like...
Mr. Sick Man at the blackboard doing arithmetic.
Right. Well, that's what it'll be. Like math, they'll just... math will just have a picture of a calculator.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I won't have words there. And history is a picture of a...
English warship.
Well, I was going to say globe, but it's actually flat with a ship sailing off
perfect,
the edge.
Perfect.
Of it. They haven't really got the...
Perfect.
They don't got globes yet over there. All right, Oh, no. We're going to hear a song. That's right. You queued up there? Mm-hmm. All right. A little something from... Matt Sorum, by the way, is here tonight from Velvet Revolver. We'll hear a little something off that. And this song is called Slither. We'll be right back. yeah, a little Velvet Revolver for you. Matt Storm, super drummer.
Thank you very much.
Drummer of the Stars is here tonight representing. We will take ourselves a little bit of a break. We'll hear something else from Velvet Revolver in the second hour. And when we come back, Amy? Yes, Drew? Who do you want to talk to?
Let's Amy real quick.
Sex addict, Mark, virgin.
Courtney.
Here's a virgin. Yeah. Courtney the virgin. Folks don't believe her. Want to put her on a birth control pill. Your folks don't believe you're virgin. Courtney?
Yeah.
Your folks don't believe you're virgin?
No, they don't.
Okay.
How dare they?
Yeah. All right. Hang on a second. I remember my dad couldn't believe anyone would screw me.
He still doesn't. What are you talking about? I couldn't believe.
The exact opposite. So, Dad, I'm 33. I'm getting late now, you know. Please, son.
Who are you kidding?
Who are you kidding? You're Corolla. Yeah, but Dad, I'm on MTV. You're Corolla first. Corollas don't get laid. Now focus.
Yeah, but Dad, I'm on MTV. That's for sure.
Let's take a little break. Matt Storm here tonight. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drama filling in for Dr. Drew. Matt Storm is here tonight. All right.
Nice.
Super drummer, Matt Storm.
I was supposed to come with Fab Moretti from the Strokes.
What happened?
Fab's in New York hanging out.
Oh, all right.
And he's
3,000 miles
He was supposed
away.
To come out and visit his girlfriend, Drew, and he was going to come down here with me. But
he has a girlfriend named Drew.
Drew, yeah.
Oh. Well, this is...
You guys spell that the same?
No.
Drew.
Well, he spells
Drew and Drew.
Drew spells.
You know the other Drew, Barrymore.
Spells his name Drama. It's Drama now. Yeah, those are Drew and Drew. Okay, here's a good question.
Yeah.
The two, you know, there's the chick version and the dude version of a lot of names.
Yeah.
Drew and Drew, same, right?
Spelling wise, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Chris and Chris. Like,
yeah, or Stevie, maybe.
Stevie.
Sam and Sam.
All right, maybe
I've heard chicks named Sam. I like chicks named Sam, but that would be Samantha. But then the guy's version is just Sam.
Any chick with a dude name is always a good thing, or it goes terribly wrong. But there's a better chance than not. It's a good thing. All right, so here's the question then, Drew and Matt: are there more? Now, are there more? You know, spelled the same names, the ambiguous names or unisex names, or are the ones that are spelled differently?
I think you know what I'm kind of spelled the same, basically.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
That was a really crappy point I brought up.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you for wasting more time.
Interesting.
Now we're going to go to Sean.
Which is generally spelled differently.
Yes.
Ah.
Yes, very interesting.
But we're not going to go to Sean, we're going to go to Courtney.
No, we're going to Sean because
you have to make
I got to make my point. Sean?
Hi.
Hold on. Sean, you're a dude?
Yeah.
Wait, how do you spell, get out of my face.
Well, wait a minute. Maybe he spells. Maybe that's how Brian spelled it.
Oh, okay. How do you spell your name, Sean?
S-E-A-N.
There, see. S-E-A-N. Sean.
Right.
That's it. Okay. But I've seen women some occasionally do it that way.
No, you haven't.
Usually it's S-H-W-N. S-H-A-W-N. No.
Those are dudes with small penises.
What's up, Sean?
Oh, no. I don't care about Sean anymore.
No!
We've cleared up his name. Now I want to talk to the virgin.
All right.
Courtney?
Yeah.
16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, my parents were gone for Friday and Saturday, and me and my friends decided to go out, but, like, there wasn't anything going on, so we didn't do anything. And my parents found out, and I got in big trouble. And then they started screaming at me that I'm not a virgin anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to put me on the pill, and I have no reason to go on the pill.
Well, wait a minute. Just because you came home late?
Did I? No. They
what
found
you,
out.
What did you do? They found out you did what?
What?
They found out you did what?
They found out that I wasn't at the friend's house because they called and her dad answered.
And what did you do?
I went home and I took what was coming for me. But I just want to convince them that I'm...
Courtney.
Hold on a second. The hymen on her brain hasn't been broken yet.
Yeah, I know.
It's like
it's over her ear.
Yeah, she did take... Yeah, she made it. Courtney.
Yeah.
Gonna need you to take a number two pencil and jam it into your ear so you can pop that membrane that keeps all the information from getting in your head. Now... Thank you. Now, here's what we need. What were you doing?
Instead, other than at being at your friend's home, where were you and what were you doing?
Well, we were behind the Western Express just talking. Like, we were trying to find somewhere to go get drunk.
You and a guy?
No, me and, like, my three other friends.
What is the Western Express, by the way?
Huh?
The Western Express.
It's a gas station.
Okay. Oh, all right.
No, I'm not a hillbilly.
All right. All right. You understand we're
1,000 miles away,
maybe more. Yeah, we're not out in Corvallis.
No.
Okay.
We might not know where the Western Express or what the hell that is.
Western Express.
It's a
Hermit
thing.
All right. Well, listen. All I know is every time I drive in from New York, right, from JFK to Manhattan, I pass the Gasseteria, and I think to myself, that is a great name for a gas station, and why can't we have one out here?
Neon lights.
If we had a Gasseteria out here, I would drive out of, like, if I was in the valley and on E, I would drive over the hill to get to the Gasseteria out on, like, Pico and Venice or something, just to say I was seen at the Gasseteria. All right, so you're sitting behind the gas station.
So anyway, your parents knew you were up to no good. Somehow
you're hanging out with your friends.
They figure this problem. And being on the birth control pill may be just sort of an overreaction they're having to the whole situation. Maybe the virgin issue is sort of a manner of symbolic virginity, that you've sort of shown them that you're no longer chaste and that you're into things that they don't approve of. And, oh, by the way, we're going to be sure you're protected if that's the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
is your three friends. Your three friends, were they guys, girls? What were they?
They were girls.
All girls.
But not an irrational thing to sort of want you on the... I'm glad they're talking about the birth. There's a flip side. There's at least, they're doing their job as parenting. They're involved in your life, maybe a little bit over-involved. They're talking about the birth control, now, albeit they're not sort of presenting it in a way that makes it sort of useful to you, but at least they're on board.
Right.
Courtney, I think more than anything, it's just you don't like the fact that they're coming down on you. That's what's most unpleasant. Forget how they're coming down on you.
Well, and that they don't believe you, except for you're angry at them for not believing you about being a virgin when you just get done lying to them about some other activity.
Right.
No, actually, I told them the whole truth.
After they called and the guy's dad picked up and found...
After they caught you lying.
You told them the whole truth.
Yeah
it's like confessing to a murder. You didn't not do the murder. You just confessed to it.
Yeah. And by the way, just because you're now honest doesn't take everything else away.
Oh, right. I know.
All right.
I know.
All right. So, look, your parents are overreacting. I don't think you have to be on the pill.
But at least they're doing their job.
I don't think... And then they're just threatening. They're not going to make you take the pill. And I don't think legally parents could make a kid take a pill. Do you think they could? I don't think they could. I mean, even if the kid's a minor, I don't think they could
do that. You could make them take treatments,
make them take treatments, but I think you could argue that this is not a treatment, it's a prevention.
What kind of treatment?
If they need psychiatric care or whatever, they can require them to take things.
Well, I think a girl being 16, parents are probably starting to think, hey, you know, she's going to be getting up to some mischief soon.
I'm hip. Maybe she just really has bad skin and her parents think it's going to clear it up.
If a 14-year-old gets a pneumonia and says, I don't want to take the antibiotics,
that's a different story. But
same kind of thing. Harm's way. They're not in a position to make judgments like that.
Yeah, but I would guess you would have to prove that the person was in harm's way. I mean, if you wanted just to sort of go through the court system, her being a virgin is not a great case for the parents forcing her to take the pill. You know what I mean? If she'd had 8 abortions and was going to lose her uterus, then I think you got a pretty good argument for forcing your minor to take the pill.
But don't you think they're just reacting to her lying to them,
course,
and they're thinking, hey, you know, she's lying to us, so she must be getting laid.
She must be in all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Their fantasies have run wild.
Here's the thing, too.
Yeah.
They're just threatening her. They're not going to go do it.
Yeah.
Unless you do what my dad did with my sister, which is you crush it up and put it in her food.
He still does that?
Still doing it today. Yeah.
That's a commitment.
You get like when you want to get your dog.
Does he feed her the applesauce?
Cereal or?
Applesauce. Does he feed her the spoon it in still?
He would do
Jell-O?
It. He would do it in strained peas.
Yeah.
Because he had her on it. Had her on about 3 or 4 when she was really young.
Because
North Hollywood's a little dicey.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of girls lose their virginity 5 or 6 over
takes
there.
Takes all kinds. What are you going to do?
Yeah. So he had her on that. And then later on, he just started working it into solid foods. You know, hash browns, things like that. He would crush it into a fine powder. I would see him every morning with the mortar and pestle.
Yeah.
It just crushing up the birth control pills and evenly weighing them and then putting them into the
food. Who came down on you more, Courtney? Your dad or your mom?
Oh, that's a good question.
Hold on. She still there?
Yeah. Courtney? Who came down more, your mom or your dad?
My dad.
Okay.
Is there alcoholism in your family somewhere?
No, but I know my dad's a real big pothead.
Yeah, because I get that they see a problem. They know there could be a problem, and they're freaking out that you need to.
So here's the thing: don't freak on your parents. They're just lying. They're not gonna make you take this pill. And meanwhile, try not to get busted. All right. And look, that whole thing where I'm at. Your parents will pick up the phone and call where you're at. You got to say stuff like camping. Sure, stop making noise. You gotta say like you're in the wilderness. You can't say, I'm going to be over at Jenny's house, and Jenny says, I'm going to be over at Sherry's house, and then Jenny and Sherry's parents pick up the phone and call each other. You're not there. You can't do that.
I'm putting a chip in my kids and just using a GPS system. That's it.
He didn't have to do that, Drew. Here's what you got to do, Drew. Again, you just got to fool your kids. You know what you do? Just get a nice, clean hypodermic needle from your office, right?
Yeah.
It's sterilized in the package and everything. You just tell your kid, look, I got the chip. It's in this needle right here. And you stab in the arm with it. They're like, ow! And you're like, okay, now I know where you are. That's it.
They have those for kids now, I've heard.
I've heard they have chips. They do. I'm just saying, you don't have to waste money. You just talk to your kids.
Like, make it
like,
dramatic.
The chip knows when you're smoking pot. The chip knows when you're getting a handy. The chip knows when you're giving a handy. He's got girls and boys. The chip knows when you're not staying. The chip knows everything. So now... You just stand with that thing. They feel the prick.
Drew, how much of that are they doing now with the chips in the
kids? Very little, very little. But I mean, it's out there.
Isn't that legal?
Yeah. Well, they do it to animals.
Yeah.
They do it to pets. And the Attorney General of Mexico, by the way.
Oh, yeah, he did it with himself.
The Attorney General of Mexico.
In case he got lost or kidnapped.
Kidnapped.
Right. Yeah, there's so much kidnapping going on over there. And again, wonderful
can't
people.
Judge. Cannot judge. How dare you?
You can't judge the
How
culture.
How dare you?
You can't judge
All the cultures are beautiful.
Everything's the same. Yeah, all the cultures are great and they're all beautiful.
Yes.
They just have a problem with kidnapping over there. And like they do in a lot of these Latin cultures do. They like kidnapping. That's their thing.
I was at dinner the other night and somebody said to me, goes, oh, it's just a business in Mexico. Just a business. Everyone accepts it. Just a way of doing business. You pay your money, get your person back. It's just business.
Yeah.
So, nothing personal, just business.
No, we have textile mills. They kidnap and torture officials.
It's just business.
Hey, I did a gig in Bogota, Colombia.
I was in
Guns N' Roses, right? And we landed, and each guy in the band had two security guys.
Yeah. Oh,
and we
Colombia.
Get to the hotel, and there was a tank, and guys with machine guns.
Yeah.
And I was like, why are all those guys out in front with machine guns and that tank's there? And our manager's like, they're here to protect you guys.
Yeah.
We're like, from what?
I was in Cartagena.
Kidnapping.
Cartagena. Oh, yeah. And we had...
Colombia's at work.
I was in Cartagena with a group of businessmen. Mm. And we had 3,000 or 4,000 machine gun guards and then Coast Guard cruising around.
Yeah.
We had to protect 500 businessmen.
Mm. Oh, listen, Colombia.
That's crazy.
Let me tell you something about Colombia. Colombia is the nastiest place on earth. It is the meanest people.
The cocaine
in the world.
Is very cheap though, $7 a gram down there.
Really?
Buying cocaine with the tank out there.
Take everything back.
I bought cocaine off the guy that was in the tank.
Oh my god!
Ran into Manuel Noriega. He bought an 8-ball for him and Duff. Holy Christ!
Oh yeah,
$7.
It's all happening down there.
Gotta get out that way. Yeah, it's a crazy culture over there. It's tough. Like Roberto Duran is Colombian, considered a pussy, by the way. The biggest pussy in Colombia, they throw him out.
That country's got a tremendous history.
Great. But again, here's all I'm saying.
Beautiful culture.
Can't judge. It's not the people.
Some beautiful looking girls down there.
Good looking chicks.
Good looking chicks.
Yep. And by the way, if you do about $20 worth of coke over there, like 2.5 grams, everyone looks good. Penis doesn't work. Everything looks great. No, they do. Here's what they say about Colombia. You know what they do? They say, not the white man, just they say, it's a beautiful, beautiful country and mean people. Like scary people.
No,
we can't judge. Yeah, we cannot judge. It's just, there's a good chance you get killed if you go over there. That's all. That's all. They were just, during the whole drug thing, they were just killing everyone every day, all the time. No, I mean, it's great. It's great people. No, it's great. We can't judge. Everything's the same. There's no difference.
Here's the thing I was saying. We had guys with machine guns surrounding us all the time, like hundreds and hundreds. And I thought to myself, all the drug cartels do is pay off one of these guys. They pay off one of these guys. He turns his gun on everybody. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Well,
what are you gonna do? One guy.
They don't want to slaughter you. They want to get you out of there and then sell you back. But I mean,
one guy in a helicopter. Then
during the whole drug. Oh, I mean, first off, I know we're going all over the place. Pablo Escobar, crazy stuff going on over there. There was a documentary called Killing Pablo. It's the craziest thing in the world. It's like he wanted to get rid of an official. Mm-hmm. He put one of his guys on a commercial flight. And by the way, he just told his guys, this is one of his close guys, like, hey, I want you to take this suitcase with you on your flight out to Costa Rica. Here you go. 150 people on a commercial flight took down the plane.
Yeah.
The official wasn't even on the plane. he knew there was this is just a commercial flight with 150 citizens on it and one of his lieutenants.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, just take this suitcase on this flight, would you, buddy? The dignitary that he was trying to take down ended up not taking the flight. It took a whole commercial jetliner down and his buddy. No problems.
Can't judge.
Well, again, we can't judge. It's a cultural thing. That's what they do. They take down commercial airliners over there, and it's their beautiful people. We can't judge. But I'm just saying, you get in a whole Pablo Escobar thing over there. Crazy violence. Crazy violence. We'll take ourselves a little break.
Velvet Revolver.
Velvet Revolver, everybody. Well, listen, they've done some drugs in that band in their day.
We'll probably go back to Bogota, Colombia.
So you're saying these guys support terrorism? What you're suggesting?
They support terrorism.
That's what you're suggesting.
Well, no. Because let me explain how you support terrorism. Hmm. You support terrorism by funding these groups that make money off of the drugs, where with the huge markup. You know, I'm paying $100 a gram, sometimes more, depending. New York, Manhattan. Matt and the boys, they go straight to Colombia, get their stuff.
I think the guys that were promoting the gig were all cartel drug dealers. Actually,
the profit is cut out. They take out the middleman.
I see.
And that's where the profit is.
Whatever.
Hey, we're just down there trying to rock the people, man.
That's right.
They want to feel the freedom of the rock.
And they're good people, and we can't
good
judge.
People wanting to rock.
We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Matt Sorum is here tonight from Velvet Revolver. They're going to be playing, Saturday they're going to be at Club Largo, and then Sunday they're going to be in Bogota, Colombia, actually playing a soccer venue. So, we will hear something from Velvet Revolver before the night is through. I think we'll hear something else in the 11 o'clock hour, and we'll get back to the phones, and let me ask you about... Let me ask you about Slash, by the way. I really like Slash. Actually, Slash and Duff are both what I would call sweet guys. They're nice. Mm-hmm. They're good. There's guys.
We're gonna talk about dogs now. I know where he's going there.
No, they're guys. The guys out there that are nice guys, that are pleasant guys,
kind of like dogs that are a certain breed.
Yeah, Slash. It's like he's like a Labrador. He's very friendly.
You think he's a lab?
He's not smart. He's not a water dog. If he went in a pool, he'd drown. And his hair would get wet, take him right down to the bottom.
But his hair is actually wet. It's down to his ankles.
It's a Briard.
Slash would attempt to smoke in the pool like three times and then realize it wasn't
for him.
You
know, he quit smoking for a while. For 9 months, he went to a hypnotist.
Really?
This groovy hypnotist guy that's out here in L.A. He's got like 500 people on the waiting list.
And
he went in there three times. Guy scared him to death, showed him pictures of livers and lungs ridden with... soot.
Sure.
And he came back like the poster child. And I didn't even notice at first. We were rehearsing, and he was smoking like three packs of cigarettes a day. I mean, from when he would put one out, he'd light another one.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't notice. And I was all of a sudden, I didn't have to go home and dry clean my clothes.
Right.
I thought, oh, my God.
Magically, it came back, though.
Slash had quit.
But he started up again.
He started up again. As soon as we started the tour, Slash was back to smoke.
But he strikes me as a nice guy. I mean, crazy at times, maybe a little effed up, sometimes out of it, but a really nice guy.
No, very, very, very even-keeled guy. You know, very shy, actually. I mean, a lot of the reason his hair is in front of his eyes, and he's got the top hat.
Right.
He's fairly introverted guy.
Yeah.
And just had another baby.
Yeah.
He's got baby number two.
Yeah.
Cash Hudson.
God.
That's why we came off tour. He had another kid with his wife. So
God bless him. So high. I always thought. I don't know if people don't know Slash. They must think he's just whatever, standoffish, or he thinks he's too cool for school or something. But he's really a sweet guy. Really nice guy. Like,
I think a lot of rock guitar players are kind of like that. I mean, look, you're in your bedroom. You know, you're a kid. You want to be a rock star. You're jumping around in front of a mirror with your guitar, doing the whole air guitar bit.
Yep, that was true. That was true. Replace guitar with stethoscope.
It was guitar.
Yeah.
Really? You play guitar, right, Drew?
No.
Drew does nothing. Sings opera.
So that's Slash. You know, Joe Perry, he's another guy that's pretty shy. I met Jimmy Page. He's a fairly quiet guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so maybe most lead guitar players are quiet. Right.
Lead singers in general, I mean, they're like, you know, low self-esteem, big ego, attention mongers.
Yeah.
Bass players are sort of a little bit flaky usually.
Yeah.
Kind of
drummers.
A little off. Drummers are crazy.
Yeah, they're nuts.
Any good drummer is usually out of his mind completely.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like it, Drew. That's what your next study should be.
Drummers?
By the way, no, just figure out the groups.
The position,
you know, I mean?
The rock band,
like the lead guitar is
diagnostic
quiet,
spectrum,
introverted.
Yes.
The lead singer has low self esteem, but he lashes out. You
right.
See what I'm
attachment
saying?
Attachment problems.
The bass player's a little flaky, just glad to be there, kind of thing. And the drummer's got energy and could go off at any time. And I think historically this is proven out by, you know, your Keith Moons and your John Bonhams and all that stuff. Amy? Amy?
Yeah.
All right, so you're 14.
What's up? Somebody's listening?
All right.
Mom's there? I think she let the F word go there.
Does it count if you whisper the F word?
She said, oh, F.
And it was funny, too, because she's like, my mom's here. Oh. I will use profanity on the airwaves, but I'll do it in a way that my mom won't be able to hear me.
Right.
Only North America can hear me.
Great.
She's a class act, this Amy.
Yeah, she is, indeed.
Amy?
Yeah.
Can you talk now?
Yeah.
All right, what's up?
Yeah.
Okay, listen.
Don't use the F word or the S word, okay?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay. Go ahead.
Sorry.
You can't talk now? Huh?
What?
Is your mom there?
Yeah.
Can you talk?
Do you guys live in a small house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah. Yeah. I grew up in a small house. It sucks. You know, it's nice to have an upstairs and a downstairs because, all right, forget it. Like, when you're coming, you can hear your dad coming down the stairs. You hear the stairs squeaking. You know, my dad's coming. I got to go. You know, when you live in just a crappy little, you know, 1,200-square-foot apartment, or there's none of that. They're on top of you. And the doors are hollow core. You know, I can hear right through the door. You need a nice, squeaky staircase and a fat dad. You know what I mean? I would encourage my dad to get fat if I was a kid. Hey, Dad, eat up. Here, eat my pudding. Have a second portion. You get a fat dad and a squeaky staircase, you're cool. That's
you know when to stash the mag.
We don't have either of those things, but we do have a need to take a break right now.
We got to take a break. Yeah, see, Drew, you got stairs at your house, but you're not fat enough.
I know, I got carpet.
And you've got carpet on the stairs. And your staircase are formed. I don't think they're wooden. I think you have concrete steps in your house.
I think we have both, actually.
Okay, the concrete steps with the carpet on it and the thin dad, that's a zero.
Yeah.
That's nothing. That's a ninja coming down the stairs.
I'm a ninja in my house.
Drew comes down on one of those cords, a zip cords. He comes with a pulley.
Black hood with a little thing for my eyes.
He does a shoulder roll and he pops up. You see his head pop up out of the kid's hamper and then goes down again and then it pops out of the closet.
Throw
those
little stars.
Where do you have the kids, Drew? On the same floor? Upstairs with you?
That's what my needs are for.
Wait, we got to take a break. All right, Matt Storm here, Super Drummer. We'll take a quick break. Be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Matt Storm is here tonight.
Hello.
From Velvet Revolver.
Thank you.
Played with the Cult and Guns N' Roses and many other bands. Who's the... what do you think you're... I don't know. Who's the best?
I would say the Velvet Revolver has been my best experience yet.
Good answer.
That's a good answer.
Bean, you know why?
Why?
I'm an original member.
Oh, yeah. You don't get that. Yeah.
I always replace guys in those other bands.
Yeah.
I was the drummer that replaced the guy in the Cult.
Right.
And then I was the drummer who replaced Steven Adler in Guns N' Roses. This band, I know it's kind of like other bands and all that stuff, but it's a new band. and I'm the original drummer.
He's, you know what he is? He's the Ted McGinley of drummers. Ted McGinley's that actor that replaced the guy from Married with Children, became the neighbor guy, then he replaced the other guy on Happy Days. He keeps replacing guys on shows.
But when he replaces guys, the shows end.
You know, they say that because I know there was the Ted McGinley curse, but the shows end up going, you know, he replaced the neighbor guy from Married with Children, and yes, the show ended seven seasons later. All I right. mean, you know, it's unfair to say.
Blame him, yeah, it's natural.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, it's a good feeling for me.
Yes,
I mean, I've done a lot of stuff. You know, I've got the big career, I got the resume, the whole deal, but starting your own thing and having it be successful is very fulfilling and gratifying.
Right. Yeah, it's you got in on the ground floor. That's what I'm saying. All right, and we will hear something else from Velvet Revolver before the night is through. Amy.
Yes.
Can you talk now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, what's
all right,
going on?
Here we go. Amy.
Yeah.
That's when you talk, right now.
Huh?
Okay. All right, listen, please. Hold on. Let me just say something very quickly. Calling all tarts. Attention, all tarts. Stop calling this goddamn show. It's been idiots calling the show.
Oh, the tarts not to call.
Yeah.
But anyway, does call.
Stop it.
Prepared to actually speak.
Yeah. What? No. Yeah, go
when
ahead.
We yeah. get you on the air.
I've been here for 9 years. One out of every five calls from a teenager,
pipes
they
up.
Act like you called them and they're in the movie theater. Like it's as if they're sitting in the theater and their cell phone rings.
Are they choked up, or they get? Is it like one of those like when you're in a dream and you can't talk?
No.
I don't know what it is. They're bothering them. It's like as if they're in a theater and their cell phone rang and Adam and Drew were on the other line. How you doing? What's going on? Oh Christ. Listen, can we talk?
Well, you guys have been on for 9 years. It's like you're in their. You know, it's like you're in their living room every night.
Maybe
it's like you're part of the family.
What are you saying? Is they're bored with us?
No, I don't mean that. Let's but, you know, you guys, they know you.
Let's
they
try
can't.
Give
I
shot.
Can't.
Amy?
Amy?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Okay. So every time I go to the bathroom, it, like, hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, bad. And then it hurts, like, a few minutes after it, and then it kind of goes away.
All right, that's an infection, Amy. You need to get that seen by a doctor immediately.
Yeah.
Okay,
do you understand that?
Does it have anything to do with me and my boyfriend?
You're having sex with him?
Yeah.
It could be something called honeymoon cystitis, where the bacteria around your vagina gets forced into your bladder and causes a bladder infection.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is it can get up into your kidneys rather quickly and cause a very serious infection.
That's
so you
right.
need to get that
go
treated
blind.
Now. The other possibility, this is also the symptoms of a sexually transmitted disease, if you get a discharge and burning when you pee. Now, if both of you have been virgins and not been with anybody else, that makes that less likely. And certainly urinary tract infections are very, very common. But you're 14. Well, you're having sex at 14.
Damn.
You can't even handle the basic biological
hear a lot from girls that if you're having a lot of sex, there's a lot of problems with yeast infections.
Holy
some women, yes, some women, no. But that doesn't cause burning when you pee like this.
Hey,
this,
Amy.
This urea, this urgency and all that stuff is all infection.
How old is your boyfriend?
16.
Yeah. That's a little creepy. That's a big 2 years, that 16-14 thing.
Just the 14 is creepy.
What?
14 with anybody is creepy.
Yeah, I know, but 14-on-14 is... Same grade, young sex is not as creepy. What grade is your boyfriend in?
He's going to be a young senior.
Oh, see, now this is getting creepy, yeah.
She's a freshman.
He's senior and you're in the ninth grade?
Yeah.
Going into the ninth
grade. Going into the ninth grade.
Yeah. Well, he's going into the 12th grade.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
senior and freshman. Not
no,
good.
No, no. No, okay. All right, so go to the doctor. And by the way, I've been screaming about this.
That has to be treated. The kidney infections can be very serious from this.
This is something I've been screaming about for a while. No one ever listens to me. By the way, but a couple of things. First off,
you think the guy's too old for her? Or she shouldn't be having sex at 14?
I mean, the point is, 14, there's really clear scientific evidence that the brain isn't developed sufficiently to handle all the emotional realities that come with this kind of intimacy until you're about 16, most people. And even then, most people are not of an age for, you know, a developmental maturity where they can handle it.
Well,
she can't even handle the basic biological responsibility. She's got a bladder infection from sex, sitting around wondering what it was.
Right.
In the meantime, this thing's getting up into her kidneys and cause kidney failure. I mean, it's a serious deal. She can't tell anybody about it. It's secretive. She doesn't understand.
Okay,
it.
Where can she go and get this taken care of then? Without going to the doctor that knows her parents?
Well, any doctor.
Swing by Matt's Duplex.
She's 14. anywhere you go, your care will be confidential. It's illegal for doctors to tell your parents anything.
Yeah.
You can go to Planned Parenthood, who are really designed to take care of teenagers and adolescents.
Go to Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
All right, so now, here's the thing. A couple of things I've been railing about for a few months is, one is really, can someone invent a microwave that you put metal in? It'd be real nice.
You.
I had a burrito tonight, had to, you know, surgically take the thing, you know, needed a shot. I took it home. And, you know, stuff, you just need a shot in the microwave. You know that thing where you go get a little Mexican food and you bring it home and it's like, it just needs a blast in the microwave in about 20, 30 seconds.
Why don't we decrease the reliance on metallic substances?
They do the tin foil underneath the paper.
They do the triple thing.
Yeah,
they screw with you, so you got to take the whole goddamn thing apart before it goes into the thing. I'm just saying, the microwave has been around for 40 years now. Let's go ahead and work one out that works with a little metal in there, huh?
It's just like they forget about it and go on to something else.
Put the Italian, food container. You know, the metal one that has the lid, the little plastic lid on top, to slide that whole thing in. There's nothing worse than the transference of the old food, especially when it's greasy stuff and it hardens. You know what I mean? You know when you're scraping the container and you're putting it onto the plate? It would be nice to slide the whole thing in. That's all I'm saying. Okay, that's one thing I want them to work on. Okay. That's all I'm saying. That doesn't seem like that tall an order.
You're just putting it out there, man.
Just putting it out. Just let's get to work on that. Number one. Number two, when I was in junior high, it was 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, and then you got to high school, 10th, 11th, and 12th.
That was probably a smart way to do it.
Now somebody decided some years ago, we got to throw the 9th graders in with the high schoolers. Mm-hmm. Well, anyone who's in your high school is fair game sexually when you're in high school. Now you got guys, sometimes 18, sometimes 19, if you missed a grade, you got held back. I'm guessing Duff was probably in his mid-20s, still going to high school.
Slash
was 31 when he was going to Granada High. And now you got chicks. Now, once in a while, also, you got chicks that made it the other way. They're young, whatever. They're 14, 13, 14, whatever. You got a bunch of 14-year-olds running around with a bunch of guys that are chain-smoking and driving El Caminos, and it's fresh meat, and it's game on. I mean, would you... Now, your kids are going to attend your alumni of your alma mater, the Little Lord Fauntleroy School for Albino Hemophiliacs. But if they went to a regular high school, could you imagine your daughter, 14 years old, with a bunch of guys that have licenses and are smoking and drinking Mickey's Big Mouth at the park and stuff? They're pulling up in a Camaro covered with Bondo, an IROC, an IROC C.
Oy.
Got the Kragers, raised right letters, torque twister tires on it. You know what I mean? Like, bunch of dudes.
Oh, man.
I mean, a dude at 18 is good to... Your penis is never going
to
cause more damage than it does at 18.
Okay, but the 18-year-old dude with the 14-year-old chick, that's not acceptable, is it, Drew?
I know, I'm saying.
Okay, but the 17 and 11-month-year-old dude is cool with
that. No, that's a good thing. I'm just saying, whoever decided, hey, we got to take the 9th graders and slide them into high school, I think didn't think this thing out completely. All right. That's all I'm saying. And that's how all the public schools are out here. I mean, imagine you're going out to school in Sun Valley out here or something.
You know, that's more how it is in Europe, isn't it? The school system there. They keep them in a different school system up until about which would be equivalent to the 9th grade.
Yeah. They're not animals over there, though. They have civilization. They have civilizational rules and stuff. We just have anarchy and chaos and kids with boners
Eugene O'Neill,
and guns.
I think it was America's only country that went from barbarism to decadence without going through civilization.
Yeah, we never made it. We just a bunch of guys, a bunch of gangbangers with boners. That's all high school is. Guys and gangs with boners. Boner gangs, they call them. They run wild. Yeah. Dustin, I was in the South Side Chubs, we call ourselves. Yeah.
How's it going, gentlemen?
Dustin?
Yes, sir.
You're 24?
So, I am. I had a question for you. Every time I have an orgasm, I feel really sleepy right afterwards.
That's normal. There's a surge of certain neurochemicals that cause that in men. Not in women, they have a different chemical that goes up, sort of the adrenergic system is stimulated, which makes them want to talk.
Yeah. It
makes them awake.
Wasn't that Eddie Murphy that said, I have sex for 3 minutes and I got to sleep for 3 hours?
Yeah.
So this is...
You're a great black guy, man. And by the way, and let me just say this, ladies. And ladies are like, why do you guys get so tired after sex? Here's the thing. We're tired all the time. It's just when we think we're going to get sex, we wake up a little bit, we get it together, we rally.
And then, you know, and then there's
rally,
a surge of chemicals.
I mean, listen, and then we go back to where we were.
Love is a drug, man, isn't it?
Well, you've heard David Alan Greer and how he experiences his lovemaking.
Yes, yes. I think David Alan Greer, I think, summed it up best, this what Dustin is talking about when he did
he acted
this.
It out for
he
us.
He acted
it
out for us here on Love on Love.
Don't look at me. I will give you something to smile about.
That's what it's like.
Yeah.
That is what it is like. That was the best rendition of the male experience I've ever heard.
There you go. Look no further than David Alan
describe
Greer.
It. That's right. It's just there it is, and it's all its glory.
That's what it is. All right. Yeah. Well, don't worry about it, though. And that I don't know why guys want to sleep. Well, we want to get out of talking.
No, it's actually a difference in the chemistry.
No, I understand that, but you got to ask, why does nature, you know what I mean?
Why like, nature do that?
But here's the whole thing. Look at it this way, Drew. We were having a lot of conversation and contact that we probably didn't want to have except for to get laid.
Right.
And we've had an ass full of the, oh, my God, I can't believe what's-her-name from work said that, and all that. Oh, you're totally right. And all that. Please, can we have sex? Oh, yes, no. Yeah, we're going to eat. We're going to talk about this. And then when we're done, it's not that we're tired from sex. We're tired from the talking that went into getting you into bed. And we're no longer processing any more information.
Let's evaluate what nature might have been doing. Maybe it was nature didn't want man getting back up and going looking for some more action somewhere else.
Spreading his seed,
and
yeah.
And they wanted the woman to kind of stick around and look over the product here, make sure he doesn't get away, like a prey.
Right. Yeah, it was good, yes. Here, yeah, nature said, we don't need him impregnating someone in another cave.
And oh, by the way, down. Taking some disease with him to another woman or something.
Right. We should put him to bed.
Put him down.
Put him down.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
And then the woman's got to stand over and watch stand guard. Make sure the animals get him. Make sure that he doesn't. That some other woman doesn't come up and wake him up and get him going again. It's true, right?
Yeah. That's no, it. Listen, Drew, you know, the name of your next book should be What Did Nature Want?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Why does this
Adam,
happen? Why do we have our nipples?
Adam,
why? Do it.
I am
what does nature
book.
Want?
What does nature want?
You'll never do that.
The hell I won't. We could knock that one off.
Remember 6 months ago you said we're going to do the best of Love Line. You're going to record every night. You're going to... Okay.
I put that together and
okay,
you guess
that's
what happened.
Never happened.
Yeah. I talked to everybody about it and they went, you don't know that.
You talked to nobody.
I did.
Okay. Just do the name. The name of your next book.
What Nature Wants.
What Nature Wants.
Or what did it want? That's for fine. What Nature Wanted.
I don't know.
What Nature Wants. All right.
Just don't screw it up.
Maybe there's a lot of carbs in sex. Seems when I eat a big bowl of cereal before I go to sleep, I sleep better.
So there's female juices, the female
yeah.
secretions.
I mean, you know what I'm saying, Drew?
That's all mucopolysaccharides. Those
you think,
aren't really.
Think there's some carbs going on there?
No, not this. Not anything close to a bowl of cereal.
Nice calming, you know, effect.
No. No.
Just a question for Drew.
No, it's not what nature wants.
Nature doesn't want that.
Just out grazing, you know.
Sean.
Yeah, hi.
You're 26?
Yeah.
Nature does want you to eat like a half an elk and then go to sleep.
Yeah.
So after a big meat meal, you will go to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another thing, too, yeah.
And see, then wake up. Wait, you just said it, Drew. The woman is eating the meat and the man is eating the carbs.
That's right.
That's what's happening.
No, she's staying up. She's eating the meat.
No, even though she's eating the meat, she stays awake.
And why does nature want you to go to bed after you eat a big
That's
steak?
What I said.
Yeah.
Because it takes a lot of energy to metabolize protein.
Oh, so you'd got to rest.
Yeah.
Oh, right. See, that chapter three. Why you got a nap after a steak?
What nature wants.
God, Sean?
That is a great idea. I'm doing that.
No, but there's
a lot. It's a great idea. You can knock it off in an afternoon.
Like turkey.
The weekend.
You know, after when you get done eating a turkey, you got to crash.
Yeah.
Same
right.
kind of
but that,
same
turkey
deal.
Is even higher in tryptophan. And so that's...
So maybe there's some tryptophan in the vagina.
No, there isn't, though. It's all the mucopolysaccharides. Long-chain polysaccharides.
I don't know. Matt's a drummer. I got to agree with Matt.
I'm just thinking, man. I'm trying to think here. I'm just asking questions of Dr. Drew.
Is there tryptophan in the
can I say pussy? Or?
I guess you can, yeah, I guess. We're talking about vaginas. Like, on one hand, well, this guy has a medical degree. On the other hand, this guy's banged so much trim on the rug. He's practically a gynecologist. It's kind of a toss-up.
I keep chicks around just so I can have a good nap. That's my thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who I should side with.
Honey, can you come over? I want to take a nap. That's what I want to do.
Sean, 26.
I had a quick question about, let's see. I don't have any sensation in my orgasm. I was wondering, is there any way to get that back?
You have no sensation.
Hmm?
You have zero sensation when you orgasm?
Yeah, it's pretty much just like peeing.
Really?
How often do you, just from masturbation?
Once every 2 days.
Hour.
You're masturbating every 2 days?
Every 2 days.
Yeah.
Hold on, sorry. I need a bunch of information. You're ejaculating only once every 2 days.
Well, no, like sometimes once a day. Sometimes I'll go once every other day.
Okay, and you have no medical problems?
No.
You're not diabetic or something like that?
No, it just like sort of went away. You know, like
Sean, I got it. Sean, let me ask the questions. Are you obese?
A little bit. Yeah.
Okay. And you had back injuries, orthopedic injuries, anything like that?
No injuries.
Let me figure out what
size. Are you on medication? Hold on. Are you on medication?
No.
Okay, go ahead and figure out the obese size.
Oh, well, how tall are you?
5'9 and a half.
Uh-oh. That half always, I just added 30 pounds. Yeah. By the way, hold on a second. Whenever you're talking to a chick and you hear a half, go ahead and add 25, 30 pounds on whatever they take. It's not, they're stretching as long. All right, Sean. So 5'9 and a half, what's the weight?
190.
No, that's not obese.
A little obese?
Just overweight.
Right. I mean, depending on what your build is, it's not even overweight.
Yeah, yeah. And no history of trauma or physical or sexual abuse that would lead you to sort of a psychological block?
No sexual abuse. I was spanked as a kid.
But no, you weren't beaten or anything.
Well, speaking of beating, well, why are you beating off a few times a week if you get no sensation out of it?
Oh, I still get excited. You know, I don't like to wash, like, sticky underwear. You know, you get that crusty underwear.
Yeah, bogus. Yeah. Bogus. It's
full of crap.
Yeah, it's bogus.
Yeah. You get that crusty.
Oh, man.
Yeah, if you don't pee it off for, like, 2.5 days, you'll just start spontaneously ejaculating.
Well, you just overflow semen.
You'll just be walking down the street and it'll just be semen dripping down your leg, yeah. You'll explode. Yeah. It's tough on long car trips and stuff with the folks.
Sean, know, 88 minutes for that, Sean. Good times.
Sean's been a hold for 81 minutes. Yeah. All right. What are we going to do, Drew? You want to take a break? Just found out she's pregnant. Methods of abortion. That's depressing. A question for Matt about doing a little rock and roll drumming. Megan?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yes, I am. Oh, wow. I'm so excited. I finally got to talk to you guys.
Yeah. What's up, baby doll?
Oh, well, I just wanted to say thank you to you and Drew. And I'm echoing to myself. I'm so sorry.
We hear you. You're not echoing to us. It's fine.
What's that?
You're not echoing for us.
Don't ever talk.
I know.
Don't ever not talk. Please. Listeners. It's always, I'm sorry, and then it's a stop, and it's a screw up. Right. Just don't talk, please. Yeah. Now, don't even answer me. Don't talk. Good. He nodded. Megan?
Okay. I just wanted to say thank you to you guys. I went through a long period of depression, and I listened to your show every night, and just that little bit, Adam, your little jokes, just brightened my night, and I mean, I could get through the rest of the day. And I fully recovered now, and also I was raised very conservative Catholic. So when I listened to your guys, it broadened my horizon, broadened my sexual horizon. I mean, now I'm more accepting than I was back then. And
thank
also wanted
you.
To say hi to Matt, and Velvet Revolver is the most awesome band ever. I can't stop listening to the CD. It's the best.
Wow. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And
hope that inspires you as well.
Pretty good imitations of Scott on the stage. I saw you guys at Weenie Roast, and it was the most amazing show ever.
Oh, cool. That was fun.
Well, you know, I think Megan's got kind of a crappy line. Drew nodded, by the way, acknowledging the compliment that you gave us. Thank you. We will hear something from Velvet Revolver.
This is the ballad. This is the next single. It's coming out.
Oh, it is.
Well, you guys are playing it already on K-Rock, but I think it's coming out next month. We're going to make the video. this weekend.
Can you? Can we?
And I just asked Rodney Bingenheimer to be in the video.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's going to be a double godhead. Well, check it out. It's going to be a period piece. It's going to take place in like 1979.
Perfect.
And we're going to recreate. There was a club on Crescent Heights and Santa Monica Boulevard called Starwood in the day.
Huh.
And there was a very cool scene there. And Rodney had his disco there. Right. It was called Rodney's New Wave Disco. But the parking lot was very mixed in those days. It was like glam rockers, early punks. Like, there was bands like The Germs and Fear and those kind of bands that came out of Orange County.
Yeah.
TSOL.
I just remember a lot of people wearing brown in the parking lot.
And there was a lot of drug dealers in that parking lot too. There used to be a lot of like dudes selling Sherm cigarettes laced with PCP. That was always cool to be on PCP.
The Sherm days.
So we're gonna do that this weekend.
Yeah, that was Sunset and Crescent Heights, right?
No, Santa Monica.
Oh, Santa Monica and Crescent Heights.
It was a lot like the Whiskey at Go-Go, but they tore it down. There was a guy there that used to run the joint, and his name was Eddie Nash.
Yeah.
And he got involved in the famous Laurel Canyon murders.
The John Holmes stuff, yeah.
And
Wonderland stuff, yeah.
Right, and he was the manager and ran the club, so after all that stuff went down, things kind of went downhill, and they...
I'll tell you, they slide under the radar a little. Like, you know, everyone hates attorneys, and then if you're in this business, you hate publicists and stuff. I'll tell you one of the diciest of all professions, club owner, the guy who owns a couple of clubs. Because club owner, it encompasses all the horrible attributes of the attorney and of the publicist and stuff, mixed in with a little, hey, I'll pistol whip your ass and rape you.
Well, look, I actually played the Starwood when I was in. I came to Hollywood in my early teens, and I played there. And they used to have Sunday night amateur rock band night, and I went in to get paid at the office, the band, and he offered me Quaaludes.
That's what I'm saying.
Or money.
That's what
I'm
saying.
And I was like, great. I think, you know, it was like $75 or something, so we could get gas to get back to Orange County. But, you know, it was either Quaaludes or cash.
As I'm saying, like, when somebody says, like, my daughter's seen a guy. What's he do? Well, he owns a couple of clubs.
Plus, the guy was looking at me kind of strange, if you know what I mean.
Boy. Yeah, yeah. It's a club. They're sexually ambivalent in the sense they'll F anyone who comes into the room or kill anyone. They might F you. They might kill you. They might fill you full of drugs. There's always something going.
He was wearing one of those kind of silk jackets, you know, from the 80s. Remember those things?
Yeah.
They were like or it was like members only or whatever the thing was. It was just and kind of greasy hair.
Members only. He did a little time in the joint for that whole Wonderland slot thing that went on up there. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Who remembers that? Drew, please tell me you had a members-only jacket in 1979.
I did not, but I had a friend that did.
Yeah. All right.
You know, those are back. Kids are wearing them again, man.
I know. That's...
I've seen some kids wearing members-only, and I'm like, that was never cool.
Yeah. You have to have not been in the 70s to pull that off.
All right. Let's take ourselves a little break. Matt Sorum is here tonight from Velvet Revolver. We'll hear something off the new CD after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Matt Sorum is here tonight. Rock and roll drummer extraordinaire. Now with Velvet. Yeah, that would have been him.
Now isn't that like what they do at the end of a joke? A bad joke.
That's what they do.
I don't like that.
I know, it seems like an insult, but it is apropos to a rock and roll drummer makes a drum sound. You know, the thing about Engineer Anderson, ever since we moved out of Westwood One over to here, he's become brazen.
Yeah.
So he plays insulting quotes to the guests and realize there's no way they're going to find him. You understand?
I've been doing that since before.
No, I know. But what's Matt going to do? Crawl through the microphone and kick your ass? He doesn't know where.
Remember Janine Garofalo?
Janine Garofalo?
Yeah.
What'd I do?
No, it was me, and she got so pissed off, she left.
Oh, yeah. What did you play? What did you do?
You're a lesbian.
Oh.
And bitch. She didn't like bitch much.
I think
you weren't there that night. I don't think Adam was there.
Oh, well,
he wasn't. That's why. Yeah. I was the mean one.
Mean-spirited. You're mean. You're a mean, awful person.
Oh, I had trouble with... Well, something happened. Did, Janine Garofalo, something happened to her a few months ago where she, instead of being funny, got just really bitter and weird and is freaking everyone out now. Maybe she needs a CAT scan or something.
Refresh my memory on who that is,
not in
actually.
A good way.
Who is that?
Janine Garofalo is a stand-up comedic actress who was like, she was the girl buddy of the hot chick in about every movie from like 1995 to like 2001 or something. She did a ton of stuff.
She did that thing about the pet talk show.
Tons of good movies. You'd recognize her in a second. And then about two years ago, Larry Sanders decided to stop eating and stop telling jokes and just got angry. And I don't know what the hell happened, but something happened. And I'm not sure what it was, but it wasn't good. Anyway, a dear friend, though, and wish her well. Don't get me wrong.
Your husband.
Thank you. That's Dr. Drew. Engineer Chris, pull up a list of top 10 Janine Garofalo movies so Matt will know exactly who we're talking about, all right?
All right. Could be that low-carb diet again.
Yeah.
You know, not calming. Angry.
Oh. Yeah.
Do you, Drew, do you find that people that eat a high-protein diet are a little edgy?
I don't.
Drew, stop arguing with our guests.
I'm just, you know,
He's looking for an answer.
I never can get through on the phone. I try to call, but, you know, it's cool.
Drew, what about mood? I mean, what about guys, you know, eating nothing but steaks and chops as opposed to pasta and bagels? Is anyone any different now? Does it make a difference? Is there more testosterone?
Maybe
they do talk about
bit.
Meat
yeah,
eaters
bit.
And that kind of thing.
But again, your body adjusts to background. You know, if you're doing something all the time, mm-hmm. that just becomes the background.
Right.
If you're changing it up all the time, you can change how you feel. Mm-hmm.
But isn't carbohydrates more of a brain food?
Not necessarily.
No?
I mean, your brain uses glucose, but it gets it from your liver.
Speaking of... Yeah, imagine what Slash's liver's giving him. Just like I... just
you know,
like
the writer backstage, we have a juicer backstage now, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, smart.
We have a juicer, a juice man.
Yeah. Oh, so when Velvet Revolver performs, there's got to be the guy with the juice tiger and the crazy eyebrows who's sitting there talking about the essence.
We got all that. Actually the guy. We have the guy backstage the juice with the celery.
What do you do?
We do celery, you know, carrot, a little ginger.
Yeah.
Some beet.
Beet's nice. I do an ABC, apple, beet, carrot.
Ooh.
Nice.
You know,
yeah.
it's replaced the Jägermeister, but that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's
hey, let me tell you something
much
about,
better
let's
for the
about
liver.
The juice. You know, you get yourself some nice OJ going. Hey, if you got to dump a little Kamchatka in there, so be it. You know what I mean?
What?
I'm just saying, it's nothing that says that after a tough gig, you can't dump a little vodka into the juice and drink it.
You know, I was talking to...
I was going
to
say you can't slam heroin either. What are you talking about?
No, hey, I'm just saying...
Speaking of juice...
Yeah.
A friend of mine, another drummer friend of mine, Tommy Lee...
Yeah.
I had a discussion with him the other night about juice.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big believer in the pineapple juice.
Mm. Oh, coming through the penis?
Well, yeah. It makes the semen taste better.
Yeah.
And his drink of the evening would be a vodka pineapple.
I see.
And that's what he drinks throughout the night.
Yeah.
And Andrew, have you heard this?
We've heard it. We actually tested it. And people couldn't identify the pineapple.
Who tested it?
This show tested it.
I ate entire...
Long time
Drew
ago.
Drew Blue, six Samoans.
See, there's Adam over in the corner again.
Yeah.
Drew, you want to know the weird thing?
It's called auto-inoculation.
I wasn't on the show when I heard that show.
Really?
I think it was you and Poor Man.
Yeah, it was like 15 years ago.
I was like driving my car around.
I've been eating pineapple like crazy. I just keep forgetting to ask my girlfriend.
Working. Tommy Lee's got such a long pipeline. By the time it gets out, it loses its.
So the test did not come up. The survey says no.
Just as they couldn't identify it, they couldn't tell. If you blind them, people can't tell the difference.
Really?
Let me say this, true.
If you suggest it, they're like, "Oh, pineapple, great! Oh, yeah, pineapple." But as soon as you blind it and say, "This one ate pineapple," and he didn't,
right?
They can't tell.
Another thing I heard about for semen, is the vitamin zinc. Mm-hmm. I heard that it brings your semen count up.
It brings it up.
Oh, no. It might make your the semen more effective.
Swim better.
No, more like more semen. Like
no, not more semen.
Like for instance,
more volume.
Okay, I'll just break it down to you.
Ahead.
I heard it from this guy named Peter North.
Yeah.
He's a famous porno star.
Yeah. Call him the decorator.
And this guy can shoot, right?
Yeah.
So I meet him, and I'm fascinated.
Sure.
And I say, Peter, what's going
secret?
On?
Yeah.
What is the secret? So he tells me that it's all about zinc.
Zinc and volume of semen.
Yeah.
It's all about
the zinc. Is that just an oddity?
He's born with the...
Okay.
Drew, you ever seen...
Because I went out and I bought bottles of zinc, and you know what happened to me? I got a stomachache.
Yeah.
Give and nothing. Nothing extra.
I'm doing okay.
Okay.
I can shoot a couple field goals.
Okay. All right. Peter North, it's obnoxious. Like, you leave the room and come back, he's still going. And just when you think it's over, there's like 1,000, 2,000.
Gets older, though, Drew, does the semen, I mean, like, when you're a kid, when you're like, you know, in your teens and early 20s, you're just shooting like crazy. You can go
testosterone stuff.
2, 3, 4 times.
Matt asking the tough questions tonight, by the way.
You will age.
Then you get a little older, you know. You get one good one if you're lucky.
I give it a medium.
If you're lucky. And that,
I'm not an old guy yet, so I'm just...
That can go away, too.
Yeah, it will. Eventually, you'll die and everything will go.
Eventually.
All right.
Okay.
Drew, let me say this, by the way, apropos to nothing, but... Drew and I and our wives, we went out ate some dinner last night. So we like to... 5 nights a week, not enough for us. I like to get together sometimes on the weekends. Oh, I have a good time. Drew has heard me rail many times about following and the etiquette of following. And I've yelled about my dad who does this. So, you know, my dad, I'll say to him, we'll meet at some diner, we'll eat some breakfast, and I'll say, Dad, I'm up at the new house. You've not been there yet. Follow me up to the new house. And he will leave 75 car lengths between my rear bumper and his front bumper. Yes. And meanwhile, cars are sliding in between, and I'm going 28 miles an hour, and people are flying past me. And then inevitably, you make a signal, and then they don't make the signal, and then you're sort of pulling over, and some guy's trying to get out of the driveway.
Night?
Yes.
What your dad doesn't have is a woman in the next seat.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead. I'm going to vomit.
Okay, now here's what happened. So I've gone nuts about this. Like, I'll do this sometimes. I'll say to him, you know, follow me, and the person leaves, you know, 3 football fields between. Actually, there's 2 types of followers. There's the guy who leaves the 3 football fields between you, and meanwhile, cars are sliding in between, and you can't find him.
And there's a 3-inch guy.
Or the guy.
Which do you think I am?
Or the guy who thinks he's driving NASCAR and is trying to draft you.
Which do you think I am?
Okay, but you quiet over here, you pee-whip MF-er. So I'm saying to my wife the whole time, now I'm looking at Drew, and he's got the Xenon headlights, so I can tell his car, you know, because he ain't no low rent here with Drew. Yeah. I see the Xenon, and I'm looking, and we're driving up La Brea, and I'm looking, and he's way back. And I'm going 35, 36 miles. I'm going the speed limit. I'm not speeding. And he's way back, and then I make the signal naturally, and he doesn't, and I'm pulled over. Then it's always that thing where you're pulled over, and you're looking in your rear trying to see when they're starting, and then another, and I'm screaming at my wife. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with Drew? I've given him the follow speech 1,000 times. What's he doing? I can't even see him back there. I'm barely moving. And so my wife is saying, well, you know, Drew's, you know, he's a doctor, he's conservative. I said, no, Drew's a maniac behind the wheel. He's an animal. I said, that's his wife. That's got to be his wife. So what are you talking about? I said, no, Drew's an a-hole. Drew's an a-hole when he drives, and he drives like a piece of prick, you know. And he's son of a bitch. Can't stand a guy.
You're different around the old lady.
I said that's the old lady. I said, that's his navigator. She's slowing him down. And I'm driving. I said, would you get behind me already? Cars are sliding in between us. Now, we're not on the mountain road yet. Now, what's going on? What is your wife complaining about? You're going in a straight line.
You're going too fast. You're slowing up.
You're going 36 miles an hour.
I'm going to vomit if you speed up too fast and slow down too fast.
Just open the window and throw her out.
Literally, it was about speeding up too fast and going, oh, your car makes me vomit. I mean,
What are you talking about? Adam, what about the earth revolving? Does that make her want to throw up too?
She sits down in my car and goes, I'm going to vomit. Right.
we're going in a straight line up La Brea.
Accelerating slowly. Are you kidding?
I know that's what I'm yelling. But now worse than a guy who drives slow. Pee-whip. Andretti over here.
And how about the mountain road? You lost it.
As soon as I start going up the mountain, that was it.
You notice I picked up a little bit, and she's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I know.
She goes, you know where he's going. I don't know where he's going. I've never been this road before.
Yeah. Okay, but seriously, in a straight line.
Yeah, seriously, it's about accelerating and decelerating. That's
it's nice that you guys talk about this stuff, though. God. You know, it's nice that you get out these
straight line, Matt. We're going in. We're going up in the area.
I'm really happy that you guys are able to talk openly like this.
I know. Look, she's a lovely woman, but. It's not like she's, you know, 9 months pregnant, or it's not like we polished off a bottle of mezcal tequila in the parking lot or something. We just went out to dinner. She can't drive in a car going straight.
Stick shift. Accelerate too fast.
All right, Drew, you know what? Let me tell you something, buddy. It's time. Let me just.
She must be pretty hot. Dude, is she hot?
She's
hot.
Good looking, but hear this as a friend.
Hear me
put
now.
Your friend ears up. It is time for you to put your foot down. Not only your right foot, your accelerator foot.
Wait, he's a doctor, right? He's a doctor. He must be driving a Lexus or a Mercedes or something.
Driving a BMW.
Okay, a BMW.
It's got good acceleration.
740 IL, probably.
The car, it's an M. It's an M5. And the car will do 0 to 60.
That is the sporty version of that Beamer.
Will do 0 to 60 in well under 6 seconds. Although with Drew's wife in the car, it's going to take a couple of days to get to 60. A couple of days. Jesus Christ! What she wants you to do? Get out and push or something? Like what? You're going in a straight line. What? Okay. All right. I'm saying, Drew.
Put my foot down.
Put the right foot down. Put the foot down symbolically with the old lady.
Got it.
Let me tell you something. My old lady start complaining about that. She get the Thomas guide right across the face. Just pow. Just the whole thing. The big fat city one too, just included Orange County. Pow, right upside the head. That's right, like a man would do.
She actually does get sick. I've had her vomit in the car before. I've had it up.
Straight line.
She starts burping moments into it.
She can't go in a straight line.
If I accelerate with those,
all right. I was barely moving. I was yelling. One time we're all in a cab. This is a pleasant. She yelled at the cab driver to slow down, and I yelled at her to stop. And then I yelled back at the cab driver to speed up.
Oh, New York City, she'd be done.
Yeah. We were in San Francisco.
What do you do when you go to New York with her?
Yeah, what do you do, Drew?
Those guys are nuts.
Yeah. Drew, how does she travel in New York?
I just keep that plastic thing shut.
Smart.
And the windows open.
All right. Matt Sorum is here tonight. Oh, we got to hear a song. Okay, we're taking a break. We're going to come back. We're going to hear a song. That's where we're in. Yeah. All right, all after this. Yep, there you go, everyone. Velvet Revolver. We're going to hear something else from Velvet Revolver. Matt Sorum is here tonight, drummer for Velvet Revolver. And first guy in the band, by the way. First time it's ever happened. We will we'll take one call, and then it's Velvet Revolver time. Yes, because I see Sex Addict, and, you know. Mark?
Yes, this is Mark.
You're 25?
That's correct. Good evening.
Good evening. You have sex with strangers you meet in chat rooms.
That's true, and I'm having a hard time because I've been trying to stop lately, and I'm not able to do so.
Are these chicks or dudes?
Chicks.
Appropriate age? Are they old enough?
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm.
And how come you don't have a relationship with any of them?
I also have a relationship as well, but I'm doing this on the side.
Oh boy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you have... Are you living with somebody?
I have a girlfriend, but we don't live together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He just sounds like a sex addict.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And were you sexually abused when you were growing up?
No, not at all.
Not at all?
No.
All right. And so do you want to stop doing this?
Yeah, I've actually gone to a SAA meeting once, I thought it was stupid, so I didn't go back at all because I didn't think it could help me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think it's just SA, by the way.
Well, sex. There's SAA too.
There's SAA, Sexaholics
Anonymous.
Isn't it just
Sex Addicts?
Yeah,
they just call it SA. Yeah, there's SAA and SCA or something.
So an SA meeting is different than an SAA
meeting.
Slightly
different. SA is really considered the one that. You want to go?
What about an SS meeting?
Try the SA.
SS, we outlawed that. I wonder if we just consider that poor form.
Mostly Germans. Okay.
Poor taste, though.
Okay. So,
Mark, never sexually abused.
No, not at all.
Didn't experiment with kids your own age or something when you were in kindergarten?
No.
Matt, what kind of tale can you pick up on the internet these days?
Well, you know, sometimes it's better than others.
We're not going to have time for a Velvet Revolver
yeah.
song.
All right, real time. Fast.
Do you addicted to anything
oh,
else?
Hold on a second. That's screw my. Sometimes it's better than others.
Yeah, I don't. I think it's bogus. It's not fit. Doesn't
all right. I don't like fit. Mark anyway. Just go back to another. Go to an. You know, he needs an SAAA meeting. He's
A-hole?
Yes.
SAAH meeting?
Right. All right. Let's hear something from Velvet Revolver. How about it? Chris, what do you say, buddy? This one is called Fall to Pieces. Velvet Revolver, everyone. Matt Sorum is here.
Feed the Camel. That's our next single.
Sounds great. We will take a little break, and we'll be right back after this. Well, everybody, that's the show. Ozo Motley's going to be in here tomorrow night. Haven't seen those guys in quite some time. Oh, yes, they've been on the show before. Drew, don't make that face when they come in tomorrow night.
I may have been away or something.
It's highly possible, yeah. But it's been 5 years and change.
Wow.
All right. Matt Sorum, God bless you. Always good to see you.
It was a good time. I learned a lot tonight.
Velvet Revolver, everybody.
Zinc and Semen Production. That's where it went tonight.
Thanks, yep. Drew.
Anytime,
Scott. Thanks, Adam.
So, my pleasure, Matt. So until next time, this is Adam Kroller for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.